Chapter 21 Animal House. For the second time in 2 days, a helicopter landed at Fun Jungle. However, this time, JJ had requested it himself. It had only taken him a few phone calls to confirm my suspicions about who had Li Ping, after which he'd told Linda to get him a helicopter. 20 minutes later, it was touching down behind the veterinary hospital. J.J., Summer, Dad, and I quickly boarded it. I was invited because J.J. needed me, and Dad was invited because he insisted I ought to have a parent along. Summer simply came because she wanted to, and Summer could be even harder to say no to than J.J. The moment we were buckled in, the pilot lifted off, and we raced north over the park. The helicopter wasn't quite as fast as a private jet, but it still flew at 130 miles an hour. The rolling mounds of the hill country quickly gave way to the flatter plains of central Texas. It took only an hour for us to reach our destination. It was the biggest house I'd ever seen, even bigger than JJ's, and he was a billionaire. I had worried there might not be a place for the helicopter to land, but that turned out to be unfounded. The front lawn was the size of a professional football field. The house itself had blatantly been modeled after the White House, with stately columns, an enormous portico, and symmetrical wings. That would have been strange enough. Then I noticed the zebras grazing in the backyard. At first I thought my eyes were playing tricks on me. The sun was setting, so I figured maybe they were white horses with shadows cast across them. But as we got lower, I could see they were definitely zebras. There were 14 of them. There was also a hippopotamus in the swimming pool. It was only a pygmy hippo, which was significantly smaller than the common hippo, but still, it was odd. The pool itself appeared to be unfit for human use. It was murky brown, and there were plants growing in it. A second hippo bobbed to the surface as I watched. "Holy cow!" Dad exclaimed. "Look at all those cats!" He was staring out the window on the opposite side of the helicopter. I joined him and saw a long line of fenced enclosures. Each had a big cat pacing inside it. Tigers, lions, panthers, and leopards.
"Jumpin' Jiminy! She's got even more tigers than Fun Jungle," JJ said.
"They don't have much room, though," Summer observed.
It was true. Each cat's pen was only a few yards long, and it seemed unlikely they would ever be let out for exercise, as they'd probably eat some of the other animals. The helicopter swooped over the house and lowered toward the front yard. A herd of impalas scattered as we touched down. JJ sprang out before the rotors even stopped turning and stormed toward the front door. Dad, Summer, and I scrambled out after him. A limousine was parked by the front portico. It was periwinkle blue. A man in a tuxedo emerged from the house as we came up the front steps. I recognized him as Arthur, the man who had accompanied Flora Hancock on her visit to Fun Jungle. His face was flushed with anger.
"What do you think you're doing?" he yelled. "This is private property. You can't just land your helicopter here."
"Well, you're not supposed to steal other people's panda bears either," JJ replied. "But your employer doesn't seem to have much of an issue with that."
Arthur recoiled in surprise. His anger instantly became fear.
"I don't know what you're talking about," he said,
though it was obviously a lie.
"Where's Flora?" JJ demanded. "I see that god-awful limo of hers is here, so she must be too."
"She's not," Arthur said in a voice on the edge of panic. "She had to go see her sister. I don't know when she'll be back."
As he said this, however, I caught a glimpse of Flora Hancock herself peeking through the drapes at a window to the right of the front door. Summer saw her too and pointed accusingly.
"She's right there, Daddy."
Flora quickly ducked away, hiding from sight. JJ dodged around Arthur and slipped through the open door behind him. The rest of us did the same. Arthur now appeared completely unsure what to do.
"Stop!"
he cried impotently, then thought to add,
"Please?"
We ignored him, heading straight toward the room where Summer and I had seen Flora. Although I did have to pause briefly to take in the entry foyer. It was bigger than my entire house. 2 enormous staircases swept down the sides,
and a gigantic crystal chandelier dangled above our heads. However, the room was in terrible shape. The wood floor and the wallpaper were scarred with thousands of claw marks, while the newels of the banister all appeared to have been gnawed on. Clumps of hair the size of baseballs rolled across the floor like tumbleweeds, and the whole place reeked of animal pee. JJ threw open the doors to the next room and marched right in. It was a formal living room decorated with extremely fancy furniture, oil paintings, and racks of ancient hunting rifles. It looked straight out of a European castle, except everything here had been sullied by animals as well. There were slashes in the upholstery, the carpets were covered with fur, and the tops of the picture frames were speckled with bird poop. Flora Hancock sat on a shredded velvet couch, having tea. Even though it was over 100 degrees outside, she wore a coat and gloves. She was doing her best to act innocent, as though she hadn't seen us through the window, or even heard the helicopter land on her lawn, but she was doing a poor job of it. She was as skittish as one of her impalas. Two scarlet macaws perched on the couch behind her, and a young orangutan in a tuxedo stood to her side. It looked to be about 5 years old. Its tux fit it a lot better than Xavier's had fit him. Given that the orangutan's arms were twice as long as its legs, I had to assume its suit had been custom-tailored.
"Why, J.J. McCracken," Flora cooed, trying to sound natural. "What a delightful surprise. Whatever brings you here?"
"You know exactly why I'm here," J.J. growled. "Where's Li Ping?"
Flora laughed.
"Well, how should I know, sugar? I surely don't have her."
"I'm sorry, madam," Arthur apologized, scurrying into the room behind us. "I tried to stop them."
"It's all right," Flora told him, then shifted her attention to J.J. "Would y'all care for some tea? I'm teaching Suki here to serve it, just like a regular young gentleman."
Suki, the orangutan, held up the teapot, eager to show off his abilities.
"No, I don't want any tea," J.J. snapped. "I want my panda."
"Panda?"
the macaws echoed.
"Panda! Panda! Panda!"
Flora glanced at them nervously, as though they had betrayed her.
"Like I said, there is no panda here. How on earth did you ever get such a wild idea?"
JJ put an arm around me.
"Teddy here figured it out. I understand you two met at my park yesterday."
"Why, yes, we did."
Flora seemed even more nervous now, although she was still struggling to maintain composure.
"It's a pleasure to see you again, Teddy."
"You too, ma'am," I said, even though that was a lie. It simply seemed like the right thing to say. Behind Flora's back, Suki stuck the spout of the teapot in his mouth and slurped some tea out of it. Apparently, he wasn't quite as good at serving it as Flora thought. JJ sat beside Flora so I could be the center of attention.
"Teddy, would you please explain to Flora how you know she has Li Ping?"
I stepped back, surprised to be put on the spot like this. For a moment, I felt a little nervous, wondering if I was actually right. Dad gave me a reassuring pat on the back. "Go on, Teddy," he said. "Tell her." I swallowed, then launched into my explanation. "Well, Miss Hancock, I was thinking about the conversation we had at Panda Palace yesterday."
"Exactly my point," Flora butted in. "Why on earth would I have come down to Fun Jungle to see Li Ping if she was here?"
"Flora," J.J. said sternly, "I'm sure a woman such as yourself is well aware that it's bad manners to interrupt someone when they're talking. So if you don't mind, please keep your trap shut until Teddy's finished."
Flora sat back, looking wounded, but she didn't say anything else. "At first, I figured your being at Fun Jungle made you innocent," I told Flora. "But then I thought about the timing. Word didn't get out that Li Ping was going to be at Fun Jungle until yesterday morning. So when exactly did you leave for Fun Jungle?"
"I suppose around 9 a.m. or so," Flora replied. "Isn't that right, Arthur?"
Arthur said, surprised to be called on like this. "Yes, ma'am, that's correct."
"Really?" I asked. "Because the news that Li Ping had been kidnapped was reported around 10. You live 3 hours from Fun Jungle by car, so you wouldn't have even been a third of the way to Fun Jungle yet. Why didn't you turn around and go home?
Flora grew flustered. Her hands began to tremble.
I think I remembered wrong, she stammered. I believe we left much earlier in the day, 7 o'clock, perhaps.
Yes, Arthur agreed. That's right, it was 7.
So then, J.J. said suspiciously, at 7 in the morning, you heard the news about Li Ping and, on the spur of the moment, jumped into the car for a 3-plus-hour drive down to my park?
Well, Flora began nervously, I'm not exactly sure when we left. I can't quite recall the timing of the events.
You can't? J.J. narrowed his eyes. It was only yesterday.
Unsettled by this line of questioning, Flora went to put sugar in her tea and knocked the entire bowl off the tea cart. It shattered on the floor.
Oopsie! She exclaimed.
Oopsie!
The macaws repeated.
Oopsie! Oopsie! Oopsie!
I seem to be all thumbs today, Flora said. Arthur, could you help me clean this up?
She began to rise from her seat. I got the impression that Flora had knocked over the sugar on purpose to distract us from our questions. J.J. seemed to suspect the same thing. He was on his feet before she was.
A little spilled sugar's no big deal. A stolen panda is. So for now, let's forget about the fact that you can't remember the details of yesterday morning. According to Teddy, there's further evidence that you have Li Ping.
Yes, I said. Given the weird timing of your visit, Miss Hancock, I started thinking that maybe you'd come down for some reason besides seeing Li Ping. Yesterday, you admitted yourself that you were listening to me and Chloe Dokart near Panda Palace, but you didn't approach us until after Chloe mentioned that Li Ping only eats one kind of bamboo. However, she hadn't said what that was. So that's when you came over.
What kind of evidence is that? Flora interrupted. I was merely interested in what the panda ate. Isn't a lady allowed to be interested in something like that?
Sure, if she's got a stolen panda that won't eat, Summer said. She stepped forward, tired of sitting on the sidelines so long.
Here's what we think happened, lady.
Walter Ogilvy's men stole Li Ping 2 nights ago and brought her right here to you. Only you hadn't done your homework and thought you could just give her any old bamboo. No matter what you tried, Li Ping wouldn't eat it, which was a big problem. Unfortunately, you couldn't just call up Fun Jungle and ask for help with feeding your stolen panda. So you and Arthur decided to take a road trip. You drove down to Fun Jungle and lurked around Panda Palace until you overheard Teddy and Chloe talking about what you needed to know. Then you pestered them for details until you learned the right kind of bamboo for Li Ping, raced home, and ordered as much as you could. You got the info you needed, and at the same time gave yourself an alibi, acting like you were all upset and surprised Li Ping wasn't at Fun Jungle, when you'd been involved in her abduction the whole time.
I cannot believe this,
Flora exclaimed. She was trying to sound indignant, but she sounded nervous instead.
To think you all would have the audacity to come into my home and accuse me of such a heinous crime.
Oh, we're not accusing you, J.J. said. We have proof you did it. We're merely explaining how Teddy figured it out. You see, Flora, Wolong bamboo, the type Li Ping likes, doesn't grow in Texas. It grows in cold regions, like the ones where pandas live. It's not easy to get. There are only a few places in this country that grow it, and they're all in Colorado. I happen to know them all, since I'm a customer, so I called them up this afternoon. Lo and behold, the second one I tried had just sold their entire shipment to you.
Flora didn't reply. Instead, she sat there, her eyes nervously darting from one of us to the next, like she was trying to figure out what to say. Suki came to Flora's side, scooped a handful of the spilled sugar off the floor, and dumped it into his mouth.
All right, Flora said finally. I admit, I purchased a panda, but I thought I was getting one legally. I had no idea that scoundrel Walter Ogilvy was going to steal Li Ping from you until the news broke.
J.J. groaned.
Flora, that is the biggest load of bull patootie I've ever heard in my life.
You know full well there's no way for a private citizen to legally acquire a panda. Emily Sun from the Chinese consulate says you have approached her about it repeatedly, and that she has told you each time that it can't be done.
Emily Sun knows who you are? I asked Flora, unable to contain my surprise. So that's why she looked so angry yesterday at Panda Palace. I thought she was upset at me, but she was really upset to see you.
Flora lowered her eyes guiltily, but didn't say anything.
Therefore, JJ went on, you were either completely aware that you were purchasing a panda illegally, or you have more bats in your belfry than St. Peter's Cathedral.
Flora's hand went to her chest.
Why, J.J. McCracken, how dare you impugn my honor?
J.J. said, if I wanted to impugn your honor, I'd have sent the State Department here instead of coming myself. And by tomorrow, every news channel in the country would be running stories on you. You would instantly become the most hated woman in the world, the thief who willingly participated in the kidnapping of a giant panda, and who allowed an animal rights group to be framed for it.
The NFF isn't an animal rights group, Flora scoffed. They're a bunch of hooligans who don't think anyone ought to be allowed to have pets.
Have they caused trouble for you before? My father asked.
On too many occasions to count, Flora fanned herself with an open palm. They picket my property. They protest outside my gates. You should hear some of the scurrilous things they've said about me.
Suki came to my side, holding a teacup and a saucer. The teacup was upside down, and the saucer was filled with tea, possibly regurgitated by the orangutan.
Thanks, I said, trying to be polite. So you admit to having a motive against the NFF, JJ said to Flora. If I had chosen to let the media in on this story, I'm sure they would have had a field day with that information. But I've kept my mouth shut. So far.
All right,
Flora said, her voice a little harder edged than it had been before.
I see you do understand the concept of honor.
I do, JJ agreed. And to that end, I'm taking drastic steps to ensure that your name doesn't end up in the newspapers. I had to twist a lot of arms to keep the State Department and the Chinese government from throwing the book at you. For the time being, they're happy to just prosecute Walter Ogilvy. But if I gave them the green light, they'd come after you too. And they do it fast.
Flora's facade of good humor faded. She stood shakily and led us across the room.
I meant her no harm, she said. In a sense, I actually protected her. Mr. Ogilvy claimed he had a drug dealer down in Mexico who wanted to buy the panda. Goodness knows how that ruffian would have treated such a delicate creature. But I stepped in and offered more money.
I'd be willing to bet that's all a load of hooey, JJ told her. Ogilvy simply conned you into jacking up the price.
Flora ignored the accusation.
As you can see, I gave Li Ping as good accommodations as anyone could hope for.
She opened the door into the next room. It was a playroom for human children, full of toys and books. But now there was a live panda in it. I was hit by a cloud of different emotions. Pride that I'd found the panda, anger at Flora for helping steal it, and amazement at being so close to such a rare and beautiful creature for the first time. Li Ping was sleeping in the corner. Thankfully, she still looked healthy. Flora had provided lots of bamboo and a tub of water, but hadn't done much else to prepare. The place reeked of panda pee. The bamboo hadn't been touched. It was browning, the leaves still on the shafts.
She hasn't eaten anything? Dad asked, concerned.
No,
Flora admitted, looking ashamed. Only a bit of fruit salad. I'm afraid the Wolong bamboo I ordered won't arrive until tomorrow.
We brought some on the chopper, JJ said. Not a lot, but enough to tide her over until the truck gets here.
Truck? Flora repeated, caught off guard. What truck?
The one I'm sending to collect her, JJ replied. It'll be here in a few hours. My people will then remove Li Ping from these premises, and you aren't going to do anything to stop them.
And in return for that, you'll keep me from being prosecuted? Miss Hancock asked.
Oh, I'm just getting started, JJ told her. Over the next few weeks, you will begin to transfer your entire collection of animals to Fun Jungle. I will pay you a fair price for them, and I will give all of them quality care and decent places to live."
"My pets," Flora gasped. "You wouldn't dare take them from me."
"Flora," JJ said, "I don't doubt that you love these animals and that you're doing your best to tend to them, but the conditions you're keeping some of these creatures in is deplorable. If you really do care about them, then you know what I'm offering you is the right thing to do."
Flora glanced to Summer and me. I got the sense that if we hadn't been there, she might have thrown a fit, but now she was struggling to maintain a sense of decorum.
"He'll give them a very good home," Summer said.
"And so many other children will get to see them there," I added. "Wouldn't you like to share all these wonderful animals with the public, rather than keeping them all to yourself?"
Flora struggled to keep a smile on her face. It was evident that she didn't want to share her animals with the public. If she had, they would have already been in zoos rather than her house.
"I suppose," she said through gritted teeth.
"Very well, then," JJ said. "After Li Ping is on her way back to me, I'll send up an advance team to catalog all the animals you have here on your property."
At the thought of this, Flora seemed to age 20 years in a second.
"Every last one of them?"
"Every last one," JJ repeated. "I'm sure you can even get along without Suki there. After all, you have a real butler. And pardon me for saying so, but that orangutan sucks eggs when it comes to serving tea."
Suki stuck out his tongue and gave JJ a raspberry. JJ allowed us one last look at Li Ping, then closed the door and ushered us all back toward the front door.
"JJ," Flora said, looking defeated now, "you indicated a fair price for all the other animals, but you didn't mention one for Li Ping."
"That's because Li Ping is my panda," JJ explained. "You stole her from me."
"Walter Ogilvy stole her from you," Flora corrected. "I purchased her from him at a very steep price."
"Well, then, that's between you and Walter Ogilvy."
JJ took Flora by the arm and steered her back into the living room.
"If you'd like to take this matter up with the authorities, be my guest."
Flora's knees buckled. She sank into a chair. Suki proffered her a teacup that actually had some tea in it. To my disgust, Flora drank it. Either she was so shaken by events that she didn't realize Suki had gotten orangutan spit in it, or she didn't care. There was a sudden movement behind me. I spun around, fearing one of the big cats might have gotten into the house, but saw something even more frightening. Arthur had snatched one of the old hunting rifles off the wall, and with a look of total hatred on his face, he aimed it at JJ. Unfortunately, Summer and I were standing right between them. I dove, tackling Summer to the floor. Thankfully, Dad was moving even faster than I was. He broadsided Arthur just as the butler pulled the trigger. The shot went wide, blasting an old vase to smithereens. Startled by the noise, the macaws took to the air. Suki leaped onto the tea cart, upsetting what few pieces of china hadn't been broken already, and careened across the room into the wall. A portrait of an old man toppled onto Suki, who tore right through it. Flora gasped in horror.
"Great-grandfather!"
Dad and Arthur were now grappling with the rifle. Despite being much older than Dad, Arthur was surprisingly strong.
"You'll never take our animals," he yelled. "Never!"
Dad socked him in the face hard enough to send his dentures flying. They skittered across the floor one way, while the rifle skittered another. Arthur stumbled backward, then took out another vase as he collapsed to the floor. Dad grabbed the rifle and turned to Summer and me.
"Are you guys okay?"
I looked to Summer, who was pale from fright but recovering.
"I'm good," she said.
Suki plucked Arthur's dentures off the floor and stuck them in his mouth. The sight of the little orangutan in the tuxedo triggered something in my mind. I was suddenly struck by a flash of understanding.
"Oh, wow," I said.
"Look out," Dad cried.
A Komodo dragon, probably frightened by the gunshot, scurried through the door with a coterie of butlers, cooks, and other servants in pursuit. Suki spit out Arthur's dentures and scrambled up the fireplace mantel in terror. Another painting toppled off the wall and tore, while the dragon knocked over two more vases as it ran about the room.
"Oh, wow, what?" Summer asked me. "Like, oh, wow, this place is crazy?"
"No," I said. "I mean, it is, but I wasn't thinking about that."
"Then what were you thinking?"
"I just realized who's been swimming with the dolphins."